Well, good morning, everybody. Good to be here today. Happy Veterans Day. We're turning to Luke chapter 10. We're going to see the passage this morning, Luke chapter 10. It's a somewhat familiar passage, maybe. Verses 38 through 42 about Martha and Mary. I'll read this real quick. Luke 10, 38 through 42 says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Today, the title of this message, a servant's priorities, you know, being a good servant and seeing what those priorities are. We see that verse 38, we should receive the Lord now, receive him now. Verse 39, we see that we should hear his word. Verse 40 and 41, we should not be troubled with the temporal. Verse 42, we should focus on the eternal. It's kind of a neat thing to look at, and how this story that happened when Christ was walking on this earth, how we can apply it today in our life. And for a little historical perspective, I think it'd be good to look at a little closer at Mary and Martha and what they did later on, too. You think of, there's just a couple more stories here we can look at to see that. And so, you think of, most people, we take a first glance at this, like, you know, Martha, she was trying to, there's a Lord in the house, she's trying to help out, get stuff done. And she had that servant's heart. She was good at that. So, let's look at John chapter 11. We'll look a little bit closer at Martha real quick. 11, 39, and 40. This was, tells a little bit about more about Martha here. 11, 39, and 40. And this is where Lazarus. We have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was their brother. And here they come along, and it's time for the Lord to do his thing, to raise Lazarus. And here's what Martha said in 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." So Martha was, I would call her like a realist, a pragmatic servant. She's like, "Hey, my brother's been dead 4 days. He stinks." The Lord says, "Hey, Lord, correct her here. Said I not unto thee that thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." You're going to see this come true. So Martha had a hard time struggling with what the Lord was getting ready to do, the spiritual side of things. He's getting ready to resurrect her brother. That would be quite an amazing thing, right? So it's kind of neat you see that from Martha's perspective. "Hey, he stinks. 4 days. No way, you know. Here's the Lord Jesus here." So just kind of wrap your arms around that, and we can all put ourselves in Martha's shoes there and thinking that, you know. Also, John 12:2 tells us a little bit more about what Martha was doing, what she was really like. Starting in verse 1, says, "Then," John 12:1, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." So, what's Martha doing again here? She's serving. Physically serving the Lord and his folks that were with him. Martha had the servant's attitude on the physical side of things. She was very good and very a realist here, pragmatic and making things happen. Focused on that, but that's key to realize after what Martha had saw, you know, from our passage in Luke, she got scolded by the Lord there a little, corrected a little bit there, and we see the Lord corrects her again when raises her brother. And now here it comes again, and the Lord's getting ready to go to back to Jerusalem to be crucified here, and she's still serving, physically serving. Okay, let's keep that in mind as we look at this. Read on here in this passage, we're going to see a little bit more about Mary. Verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and they had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burning hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. So what did Mary do there in verse 3? She took this ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the whole house was filled with this odor. Mary was preparing the Lord for his burial, getting this odor on him. And Jesus, what? Jesus corrected Judas Iscariot. Of course, we all know what Judas was, what he did and what he stood for. But Jesus corrected him and said, let her alone in verse 7. Against the day of my burying, she had kept this. She is preparation. She's preparing the Lord for his burial. Wow. Imagine that going on. And I thought of that. There's the Lord Jesus in your house, your sister's house, and you're preparing him for his burial. And was she thinking ahead? Was she thinking? Was she caring about the Lord? Yeah. Very important to see that. And I don't know. I didn't take the time to look it up, but I think this is a very important point to mention this. In verse 3, what was going on there? The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Everybody in the house could smell this. So all this is going on. Here's the Lord, his folks in the house. All this going on, here's Mary wiping the feet of Jesus with the hair of this expensive ointment, and the whole house can smell this. What did that cause everybody to do? Hey, everybody, let's take time to smell the roses. Kind of a cliche we have today, right? But she forced everybody, oh, this is really happening. Everybody's smelling this. Take time to smell the roses. What do we need to do? Take time to smell the roses. Are we ready? Do we appreciate what the Lord has done for us? Do we appreciate what he will do for us? The servant's priority. The servant Mary had the priority right. She had the spiritual side right. She had it going. Her thought was right to do what she did there. And there's everybody saying, hey, do this anyway. You say, hey, they could have sold this. We could give this to the poor. Yeah, but the Lord says, you got the poor always, but you don't have me always. So, wow. What she did was a very cool thing. Now, to top it off, let's turn to Matthew 26 and 12 and 13, what the Lord thought about what Mary just did. It tells us in Matthew 26, 12 and 13. Matthew 26, 12 and 13. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. What Mary did was an eternal thing there. It's an eternal memorial for her. Jesus said it right here. What she did, that's how important it was to be a memorial for her, preparing for his burial. In the concept, the whole scheme of things there, what Martha was doing was important physically, but what Mary was doing was important spiritually. And that is what has to take the priority, take the precedence. So I wanted to share this. That's kind of the historical side of this whole story we're going to go back to here in Luke and see Martha and Mary. and where they were coming from, and what the Lord thought of what Mary ended up doing with this burial, the ointment on, getting ready for his burial. And I think it definitely points to us to say, hey, take time to smell what the Lord has done, what he will do for us. Smell the roses that the Lord has allowed us to smell spiritually. So, back to our passage in Luke 10. It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Here's a certain woman named Martha, received him into her house. Very important. What did she do? She received the Lord now. Here's the Lord coming by. She received him now. Hey, for us, speaks to us. Hey, we need to receive the Lord now. Why wait? You know, we've talked about in the question and answer, like, a lot of people think, I'll wait till later to receive the Lord, to do what I need to do, or later, you know. Well, how many of us actually have a later? We don't know. We don't know when our time is called, when we'll be done. How many actually have a deathbed experience? There's few that have that, where you're confident you could receive the Lord then, as far as salvation. That's tough. That's a gamble. Don't do that. We should not do that. Receive him now. Receive his salvation now, and receive what he has to say now. He's given us what we've been talking about this whole year. He's given us sound doctrine to receive now. We need to receive it, apply it in our life, and give it to others. Receive him now. Let's turn to an example, an Old Testament example on this. Isaiah chapter 1. Receive him now. Now's the time. In let's start in 16. Isaiah 1:16 says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. What washes us? The Word washes us. The Word washes us. It cleans us. Put away the evil. Verse 17, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Doing well is not a natural thing. Doing good, doing what the Lord wants to do is not a natural thing. We have to learn it. We have to seek judgment. And then goes on in verse 18. Come now, not later, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Boy, there is a lot of spiritual truth for us here to apply and understand devotional side of things, inspirationally. What the Lord is saying to us is, it's come now, let us reason together. Get face to face with the Lord in his word. Your sins will become as scarlet. He will forgive our sins. He will save us from hell, yes. He does that. Come now and accept him. And then go on, verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. That's our choice, to be willing and obedient to his word. We have to make that choice. Listen to what he said now, not later. And then verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What's the sword? A picture of Hebrews 4:12 and Ephesians 6:17 tells us the word of God is that sword. We will give an answer at our judgment to what the word said for us. In the doctrine that we've been given, the sound doctrine we've been given, the Lord will judge us. The Lord will judge us with his word. We will have to give an answer to everything we've done. So why would we want to come later? Just like Martha did, she received him now. The Lord is coming by in all of our lives. Think about that spiritually. The Lord has come by. The Lord has come by spiritually because Because why? How do we know that? Is the Lord physically walking by like it was in Mary and Martha's time? No. He's not physically here anymore. He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But how does the Lord work? How does the Lord work now? He works through people. He works through people. Like I was saying, or we were talking about in the question and answer, it's like, think of the, we need to be not only thankful for physical veterans of this country, but also the spiritual veterans that have come before us and spoken truth, have stood on truth. He works through people. And He comes by. How many times has the Lord come by you through a person? Do we know? You know? Because we got to remember, we got to know this. We have to know and understand this. The Lord works through people. So does Satan. So, when Satan comes by with his people, how do we know the difference? Because they look the same, right? A lot of times they do. Angel of light looks the same. The ministers of Satan look the same. So we have to know and understand that. That is why it's time to come now to God, come to His Word, and be willing and obedient to what He has said. Let's look at Romans 13 and 11 to see about this point of coming now. Romans 13, starting in 11, says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fill the lust thereof." A lot of commands there. It's come now. Verse 11. Now is the time to wake out of our sleep. We need to come now. This says Martha received the Lord as He was coming by. She received Him now. We need to receive His truth now and not wait, because none of us know how long we have on this earth. None of us know that timing. But we know from this that the time of our salvation is nearer than when we believe. It's one day closer to our judgment. Maybe it's one day closer, none of us, to our death. Nobody knows when our hour, time, God called us out of here. We have to come now, just like Martha did. Back to our passage. In verse 39, Luke 10:39 says, "She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." Key point after receiving now is to hear His word. Hear His word. And here's the first Mary's mentioned in this passage, and it says she had a sister. Martha had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. What's that imply? Which also sat at Jesus' feet. There is more than one person sitting at Jesus' feet here. So I think we can safely assume Martha started at Jesus' feet. Who wouldn't? Here's the Lord God in your house, in the flesh. You would think you'd want to be sitting at His feet listening to what He said. So Martha was there too, most likely, from this. Because Mary, there was others there. But Mary's there. And what they all had come, they heard His word. Hear His word now. Remember we saw from Isaiah chapter 1, learning, that learning part, it's key. Let's look at Matthew 11, 28-30. What does the Lord tell us? Matthew 11, 28. Imagine we're sitting there in Martha's house, and there's the Lord speaking. Everybody's at His feet listening. This is what the Lord might have said to him. It says, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I know there's some version of the Bible that changed that learning to lean. Lean on me. That's not the same. It says, take my yoke and learn of me. Implies what? We have to do something. We have to learn of the Lord. We have to learn His Word. Think about learning. How did we learn how to read and write? First thing we had to do was learn our ABCs, right? The very basics. Learned our ABCs, and then that went on into learning how to read and write. It's the same way spiritually. Learn the ABCs of the Bible. Learn the basic discipleship, sound doctrine that we know to be true and is true from God's Word. Learn of that. It's our choice to do that. And that's what the Lord is telling us. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You shall find rest unto your souls. Very, very key point to hear His Word. But not only hear it, learn it. Romans 10:17 says what? Very familiar verse to us. Romans 10:17. So, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To hear His Word, faith is hearing His Word, and hearing comes by the Word of God. We have to want to learn those ABCs, the spiritual ABCs of the Bible. We have to want that. To get that faith, we have to hear His Word. And it's not only good to hear it, it's just to hear it, to understand it, we need to do what they did in the Bereans did. Let's turn to that. Acts 17:11. To hear His Word. They heard His Word. What else did they do with it? Acts 17:11 in the Bereans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They received the word with all readiness of mind. They heard His Word, and then they did what? They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Not taking what they were hearing from this person just for granted, proving it through the Word of God. And that's what we should do always as we're trying to grow in the Lord. To learn the ABCs, to learn the sound doctrine of what we know is true, to search the Scriptures daily, to hear His Word. Don't just take it for granted, everything you hear. You got to prove it out yourself. And just like as we learn our ABCs in school, you know, it's what the teachers encourage us to do. I don't know if they encourage it anymore, but they used to encourage us. Read, you know, read. Here, you've got these words down, read. We start reading the very basic books, see Spot Run and things like that, the easy stuff, but then you grow on, it's like, you go on, it's like, you get a little harder, you get a little more, same spiritually, you know, you get the basics down, you get what you understand, and you just keep applying it, you keep going, you search the scriptures daily to understand what God is showing us with sound doctrine. Very, very key thing to understand it. So, back to our passage, they heard His Word. Do we receive Him now, and do we hear His Word? Very key thing to ask ourselves that. Now, verse 40 starts, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. See, we get going here. Remember the history side of things? What was Martha like? She was still serving later on, still serving, and she was just, that's just the way she was. But Martha. So that's a contrast to hearing His Word. Here's Martha up. They're in her house. The Lord, His group is in the house, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. How easy would it be to put ourselves in that positions. You know, worried about God in the flesh is in my house, and what does he need? What's the people need around him? Wow, you know. Take that contrast. But Martha was concerned about my serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Remember, we talked about Martha was worried about serving later on, too, when the Lord was back in the house. And so that was her focus, the physical side, the temporal side of making sure the Lord was served physically. From this, we see that what the Lord says in 41, it says, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. So he's given her a nice scolding, rebuking here a little bit, just for showing her that, hey, the temple, that's not what's important. Cumbered about much serving. How often do we get caught up in that same mentality? Right here before us, here's what needs to be done, let's go do it. But you let learn the ABCs, learn the sound doctrine spiritually, we'll get that later. I'll get that later. I got time later. Back to the point, now is the time, you know. I learned a good lesson from this temporal side of things, and I know Arnold Bell relate to us when we all used to work at the same job, and there was a lot that went on there, and we had a lot of things going on. In my office, I'm in engineering, so I had a lot of projects to help solve problems, and I had them in files, and I had drawers full of stuff that we'd worked together and accomplished and corrected over the years. So if it ever come up again, I could go back to it. But all of a sudden, the owners and the bosses say, we're shutting this place down. It's no good. We're closing this place down. I'm like, look at all this stuff I got. Where'd all this go? I mean, I thought it was, I'd have it there till plant shut down, or I'd be giving it to somebody else when I retired or whatever, you know. That's what I thought about how important it was, but then they said, no, we're shutting this place down. I'm like, wow. All that was temporal. And there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that went into figuring all this stuff out, solving these problems. Guess what I did at the end? Threw it in the trash. And you think about it, what temporal things are. We learned it from tornadoes in our family. What really matters? Because the wind can take it and blow it all away. The rain can water it down and ruin it. It's gone in a blink of an eye, this temporal stuff. We think of that, what really matters. We know what really matters when you think of it, because it can all be gone. We've all been there, I think, in one way or another, had that happen. And one question I remember learning, seeing, is just like, well, what I'm doing right now, will it matter in 100 years? Ask yourself that. What I'm doing right now, will anybody care in 100 years? And that's the same position that Martha and Mary were in, if you think about it. Here's Martha. She was physically serving the Lord and the folks in her house, getting it all done, making it happen. But would it really matter in 100 years versus what the Lord said about Mary when she used that ointment? He said, this is the memorial for her from now on. Wow. See the difference? The spiritual side of things, very important. So, we shouldn't be troubled with the temporal in that regard. When we think about it in that regard, because we're not supposed to look at it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. What's the command to look at here? 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Should be looking on the things that are not seen, just like the Lord does. I I know we're all physical folks, and it's hard to do this. It's hard to realize, hey, what I've got going on in my life right now, that's the most important thing. Well, is it? And will it matter in 100 years? You know? Yeah, it has to be done. But is it the most important thing that it should be done? Have I done what I need to be doing for the Lord? Have I take time to smell the roses, so to speak, spiritually, as we're going? Paul tells us this again in Philippians 1:21, shows its importance. Philippians 1:21. Don't be focused on the temple, because what he says here, Philippians 1:21, is, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know, we should be living our life for Christ as we're walking here. But if we die, we gain. We gain the Lord. We gain heaven. We gain Him. Wow. You see that? See that? That point in, "But Martha was covered about much serving." We can put our name in there. You know, but Kurt, was he covered about much serving? Put your name in there. Does it fit in, or should we, or do we fall on the marriage side of things? Let's read Galatians 2:20 to close this point out. Galatians 2:20. Pretty familiar verse for us. It says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." If we apply this in our life, we're not focused on the temporal, we're focused on the eternal. We're focused on the faith of the Son of God. We're focused on receiving Him now. We're focused on hearing His word now. We're living a crucified life. And put yourself in Martha and Mary's shoes right now and think about this. If the Lord were to walk into your house right now, what would it be like? What would you do? Would you want to be sitting at His feet, listen to every word? I would hope we want to. Or would you want to be, "Wow, I got to get this in this. Is this not perfect? You know, this is the Son of God in my house here." You know, nothing. None of us are perfect. No house is perfect. Nothing will ever be perfect. You never get it the way. You could be serving the whole time and miss what the Lord is trying to say. So, if the Lord physically was in your house, that's hopefully the way you'd want to go with it. Hey, set at His feet. Now, spiritually, guess what? The Lord is in our house. His word is here. Are we sitting at His feet? Or are we cumbered about much serving? So, don't be troubled with the temple as we are commanded to do here. We go back to the passage. We look at the verse 42. The Lord says in verse 42, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." One thing needful, which shall not be taken away from her. That is a focus on the eternal that Mary had. She was at His feet, not worried about being cumbered with the serving physically as Martha was. She was at His feet, listening and learning. And when it came time, as we saw in the history side of it, it came time for the Lord was going to be crucified and buried, she was preparing the Lord for His burial. So she was thinking in that regard the whole time. That's a good thought process that we need to emulate, to understand emulate, thinking the spiritual side of things. Very good to understand that. The one thing needful. What is that for us? I'm going to talk about that just a little bit. The one needful thing for us. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse Colossians chapter 3, as we start in verse 14. Colossians 3 and 14 says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." The one needful thing is right there listed. Verse 14, above all these things, put on charity. And whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the mindset of focusing on the eternal. That's the mindset that Mary had. The one needful thing. And verse 14, as we see, above all the things, put on charity. It's putting on charity. Charity is the love relationship we have with the Lord. It's our personal relationship we have with the Lord. And it's up to us to put it on. It doesn't happen naturally. In other words, back to learning. Learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden light. Learn of me. Take it. We have to do it. It requires us doing it, to take it and put it on, that charity. We know from 1 Corinthians 13:13, what is charity? It's the greatest. It's the greatest of the three. And now by faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. It is the greatest thing. It's the one thing that, the one needful thing that we need to have, that relationship, personal relationship with the Lord through His Word. As we are receiving Him now, we're hearing His Word, or we're not troubled with the temple, we're focused on the eternal. That is what it's all about. 1 Timothy 2:4. Focusing in on this one needful thing. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth?" The Lord doesn't want anyone to go to hell. It's whosoever will call upon Him shall be saved. He wants them all to be saved. Then there's this comma in this verse. He wants that. He wants all men to be saved. And then what? And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's the part of putting on charity. That's the part to knowing, come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's the part of sound doctrine that we need to have. The knowledge of the truth. The understanding. The knowledge of the truth is not just, hey, you need to get saved. That's a good thing. Yes, that's needed. But it's more than that. 2 Timothy 2:10 tells us, "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." They understand the knowledge of the truth. To come to that knowledge is to understand I need to be saved. And there's eternal glory there that is conditional. We have to understand that. In 2 Timothy 2:10 tells us, it's right there, it is that they may also obtain guaranteed salvation, may attain eternal glory. That is to rule and reign with Him. It becomes for all of eternity that we get and understand when we put on the bond of perfectness. We understand the charity, the learning of Him in the sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16, another key verse that's coming to the knowledge of the truth, the one needful thing, focusing on the eternal. 1 Timothy 4:16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." I think Mary applied this verse pretty good. She took heed to herself. She did what she needed to do. She stood at the Lord's, sat at His feet, and heard His word. just like the Lord said, hey, she did the one needful thing. And then we also know what she did later. She prepared the Lord for his burial. She took heed to herself. And the second key thing is, and unto the doctrine. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Do we do that? Do we understand the sound doctrine? And the key thing there is continuing in them. And not just a one-time deal, is it? This love relationship, the charity, the one needful thing, the charity relationship is not just a one-time deal. It's a continuation. Because we know what will happen if you stop your relationship. If you decide, hey, I don't want any more of this, what will happen? We know what will happen because it's told to us in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. This one thing, what will happen if Paul lays it out here, what he was ready to be offered up and what he says here. He says, I have fought a good fight, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You get this crown of righteousness, you love his appearing. So vice versa that, what if you don't love his appearing? What if you're not looking for his appearing? You're not going to get it. You give up. You quit the race. You quit your fight. You didn't finish your course. You're not going to get it. It's a continuous thing of focusing on the eternal, to love his appearing. See how important it is to stay focused for that one needful thing that the Lord laid out to Mary. The one needful thing for us is essentially the same. Stay focused on him. Have the relationship that he wants us to have, to understand the sound doctrine that we've been given. And in all this, when it comes up, we know there's going to be battles, there's going to be fights, and it's tough. And let's look at how Paul handled it. Paul is our greatest example. He's our apostle to the Gentiles. Let's look at Acts chapter 20 and 24 to see how Paul handled it. This is how we need to handle it. Acts 20 and 24. I'm focusing on the eternal. He's going through a lot of stuff, lots of afflictions. Paul was in this passage, but he says in Acts 20 and 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He was not moved. Is there anything that's going to move us? Temporally speaking, or otherwise, anything going to move us? Don't count your life dear to yourself. Our life is by the faith of the Son of God. Live a crucified life for him. Galatians 2:20. Finish my course with joy. Just like we saw in 2 Timothy 4. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Will we finish our course with joy? Will we to love his appearing when the Lord does appear? Either at rapture or at our death, he's going to appear. That's when we are out of chances to serve him, to please him, to be the good servant that Mary was, and the example she set for us. And what was Paul doing? At the end, he received of the Lord, the ministry which I received of the Lord, Jesus, to testify the gospel grace of God. That's our job, our calling, same thing, is to testify the gospel of grace. The sound doctrine of the gospel of grace that Paul's given us, are we testifying? Are we giving it to others? Are we living in our life? Are we talking about it to others? And especially living our life and setting the example that the Lord would have us to set as we walk through this life, focused on the eternal things. So, Mary set a good example for us. Martha was there too, right? Martha was kind of the example of that we could typically fall into. But Mary set the best example spiritually too. Stay focused on His Word, to set at His feet, to not be troubled with the temple, and to focus on the eternal things. We need to ask ourselves, are we following that example that Mary had for us? It's a good one. Lord, we just thank You for this day, these words You've given us. Lord, just want to praise Your name and thank You for all things, Lord, and this word to guide our life, Lord. And just thank You for the sound doctrine that You've given us. Help us to be the example You want to have us to be, just like Mary was, Lord, focused on the eternal, Lord, and focused on You. Lord, we just want to thank You and praise You in all things and give You all the glory, Lord, that one day we can receive Your glory as well. We just thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.